Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face.
Ooh.
All right.
Oh, that's an old meme. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father, Fernando Torres.
That's how you're going for?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get it going.
Welcome to the Ghost of Podcast, episode 33. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
With the DDD and the BBB.
Wow, he's bringing it back, folks.
This is Reed. Hey.
Hey.
I like this gun you got.
You like my AK?
I like your strap. Gotta stay strapped.
Yeah, you do. Up in this hood.
Dude, they fixed the fucking roads around
here. We're getting there.
Woo!
They just gotta do our little U here, and then we'll be good.
Yeah. I forgot about that. That's a big fucking difference. When the first time years ago now, where I came here to record,
it's like a fucking war zone.
I was just like, God damn.
Yeah.
He lives on Mount Olympus. Fucking get up here is gonna destroy my car.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like undergrounding all of the power lines and everything, but it's like a 3-year process now, so it's a little fucked up. COVID ruined everything.
So what's been? We had a very productive, fruitful pre-show.
Yeah.
If you're interested in hearing that, you could go to patreon.com/whogoesthere podcast. Thank you to all of our Patreon listeners and all our listeners in general.
Yeah.
That's $1 a month, $3, $5, $10. You actually do get stuff. People got stuff recently. And thank you to Jacob for putting those.
It's a lot of work Jacob did.
Those care packages together.
Yeah.
The fucking little art book of Cal's art. Cal Gee is the guy who does all the art.
That was fun putting those together. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, dude.
Patreon.com/whogoesthere podcast. That's the show. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, that was Donnie's idea. Your buddy Donnie, who's mentioned, like, you guys should have like a zine of like all the Cal's artwork.
Donnie?
Yeah. He said that like, way back. And I was like,
Donner Loner?
I'm like, actually, I think I could pull that off. Yeah.
I got you, fam.
Yeah.
Well, and there's the upcoming year in review. Well, not for, but the. How's it upcoming?
It's already happened.
It's already happened. The art for the year in review, which you've all seen now, which is fucking fantastic, by Cal again up there in Canada, safe in Canada. Well, maybe not.
Yeah. Well, no, he'll still be safe either way, right?
It's funny.
I'm gonna go up there and Civil War his ass.
Well, it's funny though. No, I'm just kidding. People had the idea of making that into a playmat.
Yeah,
we got to do something with that shit.
Yeah, it's fucking incredible what he did. Yeah,
and Donovan texted me. He said he recently listened to the RoboCop 2 episode.
Oh,
which was a fucking great episode! And we had the Short Circuit 2 special Patreon feature on that. So that's another thing you get is exclusive episodes.
Yeah. Our most recent exclusive was Mads, that Shudder exclusive.
Yep.
Infected/zombie.
Good epi.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
It really was. Did you listen to it?
Nope.
It's a great episode.
I took your word for it.
Yeah. it's a solid episode. Just goes to show, you know, you never know. You can have a great movie and a shit episode. And you can have
sometimes they converge,
sometimes they diverge. Sometimes they're divergent. And there's that guy who was in Divergent who's in the movie we're talking about later.
Sometimes it's Nosferatu.
Yeah. Oof. So yeah, that would be unfortunate.
If it was Nosferatu again.
If you spent all the fucking time on those prosthetics just to bathe him in darkness and not see shit.
Yeah.
What else, Jacob?
Shit.
She.
All right. So for movies, I had a little mini Bong Joon-ho marathon, in preparation for Mickey 17, which I never ended up seeing. So I ended up like reading the whole book in like 2 days and then watched three movies. I did Snowpiercer and Parasite, which I've seen before multiple times. I've seen Snowpiercer way too many times.
Oh, okay.
I love that film. But the one I haven't seen, I've always wanted to, was Memories of Murder.
Oh!
And holy fuck, that movie. I heard
it's a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece, and it is fucking incredible. And it's got, I forgot what his name is, but the fella in Parasite and the host and stuff.
That Korean dude.
Yeah. Incredible, man. And this movie, It's a very noirish, very slow burn, rural like Korea, and they're just trying to find this murder, and there's always like a rape murder that happens every time it rains in this province, and you got these pair of detectives that are just the biggest pieces of shit, lots of police brutality, and just trying to, you know, wrap things up and find an excuse to get a confession out of anybody, really. You know, like, they don't want to put in the work until this new guy comes along and this new detective who really wants to find who the real killer is. And I don't know, it just I love how he handles the feels very Park Chan-wook, the thriller aspect of it. It's fantastic, man.
That one came out years before Parasite, yeah. Right?
So 2003.
I got a 4K copy, and it's fucking fantastic. I love the color grading. It's very desaturated, very bleak. The ending is like fucking chef's kiss. It's great, man. It's one of my favorites. I almost like put it up there with like Seven in terms of like serial killer crime, you know, noirs. It's fucking awesome. So, Memories of Murder, I recommend. And then I listened to the audiobook of Mickey 17 in preparation for the film, which I never saw. And the book is okay. You know, I don't have the movie to review, so I'll do the book. And it's pretty standard fare novel. It's very, very fucking slow. And some of the interesting shit just, like, the book ends, the first few chapters, the end, and a whole lot of nothing happens for a big chunk of it. So I'm curious to see how well Bong Joon-ho adapts it. I could tell he's kind of put a lot more energy and funness to it, because I was just kind of getting a little bored with it, which hasn't happened to me in a minute with a novel. I don't read that much, but when I do, I try to really pick something that I know I'll vibe with, but wasn't really feeling it. So I hope the movie is different. And I heard just kind of,
have you tried Hillbilly Elegy?
Oh, yeah.
That's
you recommend that?
Yeah, that. I mean, it's
the book, yeah.
You know the guy with all the memes with his face?
Yeah,
that's him, dude. That's him, dude.
I should watch that, yeah. And read the book. I should just go a deep dive on that.
Fuck it. We should do an episode on that.
You know, the guy with the face.
The guy with the face.
You know what to say about the guy.
I saw some the people are live, they're all, the best thing is he decided to at least posted himself, you know, because he's in on the joke. It's like, dude, keep writing that fucking dick, dude. Like, they're like, oh, he's not soft like you guys. It's like, he literally is like, did you say thank you once? Like, he's fucking, like, that's pretty
soft.
That's pretty soft, dude. That's really the guy from fucking Ukraine from war. Did you say, please
say thank you?
Say thank you.
You didn't say thank you, Mr. Zwensky.
You want the money? Suck dick. Okay.
Oh, you wanted tanks? You gotta suck the dick.
You suck his dicky. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
You're good. Yeah. Courtney and I started another marathon. We wanted to do that. It's been like 2 years. We've been trying to find the time to block out time for it, but we only got a movie and like a quarter into it. So, but it's I wanted to do this 3-movie marathon of Brian De Palma.
Oh!
I wanted to do Body Double, Dress to Kill, and Blowout.
Good idea.
I only got through Body Double and a part way through Dress to Kill before we fell asleep. But holy shit, man. Body Double is fucks.
Fucked up 80s movie.
That is so good. Courtney was like, this is might be like my top 10 of all time. Like, she
really
loved the shit out of it. Like, if it's like just oozing with that 80s, you know, aesthetic and the music and the whole like just outrageous set pieces. Like, and
the fucking drill, the screw gun.
Yeah.
Dude, and then fucking we saw that, Sophia and I saw it recently at Digital Gym, and it was our first watch.
Yeah.
It fucking blew our mind.
Well, when I saw it, I was like, damn, I should have saw that in theaters, yeah, at the Digital Gym, because that was a fun movie.
Seeing that and Crash at that place in that little room together. They were, I don't want to say an awkward, it was, they were uncomfortable watches in a theater.
Yeah.
I have to say, which is the point.
Yeah. Where do you sit in that theater? Because it's pretty small.
In the front.
Yeah. I do the second or front row. And it's perfect because it's such a small screen. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
great. Fucking in that. And the guy does, he does look like Bill Maher, doesn't he?
He does. I was going to, I was like, I looked him up. He hasn't done like anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was great.
I have an issue a lot. Or sometimes with De Palma's leads. There's two things with De Palma movies, even in that stretch of them. And dude, Blowout and fucking Dressed to Kill, and that's like the little run there for me. But the guy who does his music, he has the same guy doing the scores. I'm not a big fan.
Okay.
And his leads, besides Travolta and Blowout, is fucking great. But yeah, it keeps them from being just perfect fucking movies
for me.
But either way. They definitely fucking recommend.
Yeah, like you said though, it's body double. I love the way it ends and everything, and it gets very surreal and abstract and all shit.
Meta, fucking meta commentary.
Yeah, I was not expecting it to go that way. I was like, okay, yeah, I liked it. I think this is like the film Maxine should have been. Like, it's trying to imitate a different type of an even more sleazier subgenre of the erotic thriller that was like, it's actually trying to imitate like real B movies.
Well, and then like one of the like most risque scenes is fucking, it has Barbara Crampton at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He comes home and he's getting cucked.
Yeah.
And Barbara Crampton is riding some dude. And I have to say, man, like, I don't know why I was late to the party. Barbara Crampton's fucking hot. Hey, man.
Dude, I lined
that mouth.
Had something to say about her ass, though.
I did, because her ass, but this one, she was riding a dude.
Mm.
De Palma had the good sense
to be like, hey, take your top off and ride this dude, and we're not going to show your flat ass. De Palma knows how to shoot Crampton.
Yeah.
You know who He's else should shoot? Pervert. You know who else should shoot Crampton?
Ooh.
Anybody, right in the head.
Oh, my Hell gosh. Yeah. So mean. So mean.
I got a Polaroid with
her. Disrespect.
I've got a signed Polaroid with her.
Do you?
Yeah. Dude. She signed one of my movies. I forgot what the name of it was. She
should sign a picture of her riding that dude.
Riding that dick.
In Bill Maher's apartment.
Yeah. Wait a minute. And shit. Bong Joon-ho, body double. Nah, that's about it. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, one more. And I saw a little movie. We may or may not do it when it comes out on Shudder, but I saw The Rule of Jenny Penn.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry to be a jerk about that in the text.
No, it's something else. This movie came out of nowhere, and I'm like, holy shit, it's actually coming to theaters. So I saw it with Courtney and a friend of ours. And, it takes place in like an old folks' retirement home.
And Lithgow's in it,
And John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush is the two leads.
Weird.
And Jeffrey Rush is a judge, and it takes place in New Zealand, so they have New Zealand accents, which is crazy.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
He's a judge, and he has health issues, so he retires. He's in a retirement home, and there's a
killer doll.
And then John Lithgow has a puppet. It's not supernatural, but he's a fucking psychopath with a puppet doll, and he kind of runs the place, and he's just 2 hours of elderly abuse, and John Lithgow going fucking full on like Buckaroo Banzai crazy.
That literally sounds like my life.
Yeah.
What? No.
It's good.
Which part? The elderly abuse part?
It's good. I don't want to overhype it because it is like 25 minutes too long. There's some slow parts, but it was fucking something else, man. And
because of the performances, huh?
Yeah, it's a high recommend just for the performances.
John Lithgow is he's having those early De Palma movies too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's a De Palma guy.
And he's kind of having his moment again now. Yeah. These last like 5 to 10 years, he's been in a lot of memorable stuff.
Trinity Killer, dude.
Oh.
Harry and the Hendersons, dude. Raising Kane. I still haven't seen that De Palma one in the 90s. Let me see here. Oh, I've been watching some TV stuff to kind of switch it up. Last night, we watched The Golden Girls and House and Portlandia, and I loved it. Thanks.
Hell yeah.
I fucking like House. I like that show. When's the last time you watched House?
I think Ronnie and I watched like all of House.
Yeah. It was nostalgic.
We're watching a show called Doc right now, which is House adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's like the X-Files. Like the whole setup is they show the fucked up thing at the beginning and then they explain it. I love it. And he's an asshole. No, but so that was fun. And Sophia had never seen like For Sophia not to have seen the Golden Girls, like that shit, the old white bitches, like that is a good show.
Yeah,
that he's all yeah.
Courtney's a fan. She's got a tarot card deck of Golden Girls.
It is just it's surreal watching that shit now. Yeah. Does she?
Yeah,
that's fucking cool. No, but Severance season 2. There was an episode, I believe episode 7. Episode 8 came out last week, but episode 7 did this reveal thing of what's her name?
Helly?
Yeah. Oh no, not Helly. Not that one was good too, but of the dude's wife that he thought was dead.
Mm.
And she's going from room to room. Did you see that episode?
Maybe.
They filled in stuff that's been built up for 2 seasons. And it was like a fucking masterpiece, episode 7.
I keep hearing like these last few episodes have been something else.
Yeah. Dude, it is really like fucking expanding the thing without, and not just, I don't just mean lore. Like, yes, there's more lore and it started feeling like Lost, but now it's like, no, now it's like you're in like Black Mirror, but super fucking, super intelligent.
Yeah.
And it's there for a reason. Like it's paying off plot threads and introducing new ideas.
Fuck.
And it's really something. But Daredevil Born Again.
I know. I was pretty tempted to start reading some Frank Miller Daredevil shit over the weekend. Because I think I mentioned this in the show. I haven't seen a single Netflix Marvel show.
Daredevil was, I was a big fan. Yeah. And am a big fan of the Daredevil Netflix show. And I love the fucking Frank Miller run of Daredevil in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's been like 6 or 7 years, and Disney Plus, like, I'm not a big fan. But all 3 of the fucking episodes I've seen so far, I'm really enjoying. But also, I'm biased. Like, I love what they're doing with it. I think is Charlie Cox his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the fuck from Sunny in Philadelphia?
Charlie Day.
Okay, good. I want to make sure I'm not saying that. But Vincent D'Onofrio is fucking Kingpin is great. And look, Born Again is like one of the best storylines ever. They don't follow it to a T, but it's cool. I'm enjoying it. The special effects leave a little to be desired, but they nailed the tone of it. So that's really cool. What else? Okay, I got to fly through these things here. Let me see. Zoolander. What?
Hell yeah.
I hadn't seen Zoolander since the fucking early 2000s, and I was really fucked up. Dude, it's like an MK Ultra movie. Like, they're literally. Yeah, dude, no, it literally. Is. I did not remember any of that shit. David Duchovny's fucking in it, like, exposing the thing. And when I think about Ben Stiller's career, so speaking of Severance, he's got Severance, Tropic Thunder, Cable Guy, and then this MK Ultra fucking narrative thing in Zoolander, like the motherfucker's in the deep state, dude. He's a tool. He's a tool of the globalists. And is it any coincidence? No, I'm just kidding. And then it was really fucking good, and it's aged really well.
Yeah, I showed Courtney that for the first time like 2 years ago, and she was like, "That's fucking awesome." Yeah,
the shit was fucking hilarious, and I had no recollection it was about that shit. Mm-hmm. So because of what's going on in the world, I started getting, I'm really interested in parapolitics right now. It's like there's parapsychology and there's parapolitics. But then all these other movies. So I rewatched Good Night, Good Luck, which is, did you ever see that?
No.
Edward R. Murrow during the fucking McCarthy stuff. Really good film from the 2000s. I hadn't seen it since the 2000s. And what do you know? It's pretty fucking relevant. And then September 5, that movie about the fucking Munich Olympics. Mm-hmm.
From the perspective of the journalists?
It's from the... Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of the critics didn't like... They said how neutral it was. But it's from the perspective of the journalists. And up to that point, it was the most viewed event in history. Because it was the beginning, the early stages of the 24-hour news cycle. It wasn't there yet, but that's what broke it open.
Yeah.
And then it was the beginning of where the terrorists know they're on TV. So they're doing performative stuff for TV. And the journalists are really stuck in these really tricky scenarios about what they want to show. What's their duty to show as a journalist and what's their duty not to show? Because there's no rule book.
Oh, shit.
Dude, okay. It's fucking... And I'm glad we watched that one first for the context. And you would love it, Jacob. And I think you'd like it too, Jorge. Because it really shows like the technical aspect of what they had to do with analog shit.
Yeah.
In the fucking room.
Yeah.
Like the screenplay, like... I really like when people are complaining about it being neutral. It's like, well, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's not like they're responding to it in real time, and it's fucking like they're scared as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want from them? You want them to cry? Like, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, we watched Munich after that. I had never seen that.
Fucking movie, man.
Dude, I had never fucking seen that.
Same, yeah, I've never seen it. I know if it's like Prestige, but never seen it.
Well, dude.
Oh, the Prestige, dude.
That's like gotta be one of Spielberg's most underrated fucking movies.
Yeah, it's great. Eric Bana's a motherfucker in that movie.
I didn't know you'd seen it. Dude, the fucking, how Spielberg, like Spielberg, people want to talk shit. When he does violence, like, you know, Saving Private Ryan, obviously. Dude, like when a fucking apartment explodes in this, there's fucking limbs and shit. Like, it's fucked up. Like, he makes an explosion scene fucked up. And he does it over and over again, and he's got all his fucking technical people on it, like his fucking cinematographer and everything. The movie's like 3 hours, and it's fucking, I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
And it was great. And you see the perspective. This is a good example, too, because of what's fucking going on. Like, there is, it's Israeli retaliating for what happened in the Olympics, and it's not pretty. And they don't feel good about what they're doing the more they do it, you know? So, yeah, great fucking movie. I'm glad that we watched September 5 first. We watched it in the same night. Oppenheimer was re-released. Went and saw that.
There's a lot, yeah, because of the, especially award seasons.
Yeah.
On top of that.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff being re-released, yeah.
We watched that the day of the Oscars, before the Oscars, in IMAX. And honestly, this was my favorite watch so far, a year later, having some time and distance from it. Like, dude, it's just great. Mm. And then I watched W.
That's a great fucking movie,
fucking, dude. All of this context, like, yeah, Brolin fucking... And it's Oliver Stone, so he doesn't, like... You think, like, oh, he's going to be, like, incendiary and all this. Like, no, he just kind of presents things how they are, and Brolin fucking nails his fucking body language and everything.
Yeah.
You like that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to see his Stone's, is it the JFK movie?
Oh, dude, that's one of my favorites.
I want to see that.
Really, that's a different fucking animal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why, dude, when people talk about, like, the conspiratorial thing, and you know how I feel with that, and then make it, like, a political issue, like it's, yeah, like, the right owns that or something. Like, dude, like, no. Like, Oliver Stone is not fucking QAnon.
That one and fucking Vice, man.
Vice was fucking great, too. Christian Bale, like, yeah, it's cool, of course, too, having a few years away from this stuff now, and because hindsight is 2020 and all that shit, as they say. And with all the stuff going on right now, it looks fucking kind of quaint.
Yeah.
Rewatch of RoboCop, because rewatch of About Schmidt. I fucking love that movie.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I really like that movie. And then Sophia had never seen Denis Villeneuve's Enemy.
Oh, so good.
And dude, she loved the fuck out of that movie. Yeah. I think she likes it more than I do. And she explained it to me. Cause like
there's a lot, yeah. There's a lot to unpack and some stuff.
Well, because it's all thematic. Like,
yeah,
it's like
so heavily. I had to do a lot of research.
She's
after.
Like, well, it's double life. He's got a double life, and then you know when she dies in the wreck, it's like, does she literally die, or he goes back to the other one, and she's the spider because she's pregnant, and he's got this anxiety about fucking having the baby, and
yeah.
Either, dude, that whole spider scene at the end, like,
did it scare you? Did it make you jump?
Fuck, dude, okay. It's like
something about it, because it's not an overt jump scare, but it is one of the most startling, just unexpected things. And I saw that movie in theaters.
Yeah,
and that shit fucking just like made me leap out of my chest. Yeah, yeah.
He does a good job. Well, he's Villeneuve, so it's his own vibe and everything.
Villeneuve.
But he kind of jocks a little bit of Cronenberg, a little bit of Lynch's surrealism, mm-hmm, but with his own atmosphere. And a little bit of even, like, the guy who directed Possession, a little bit. Like, I mean, that spider stuff, that sense of discomfort and startling stuff, it kind of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but...
I got to rewatch. I haven't seen it since it first came out.
But neither did I.
Yeah.
And then, that's about it. And then, oh, I watched Cuckoo, finally.
Cuckoo!
Dude, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Tillman Singer. I totally agree with you about, like, visually. The thing is, though, I just get pissed. I'm just like, okay, you got chairs that look like they're from the 70s. And, like,
I wasn't expecting it to be so surface level with, like, everything about it. Yeah.
Well, I'm like, what am I supposed to be getting from this? It's like, it's not.
Everything's pretty, like, literal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fucking, like. Someone compared it to Lynch, and it's like, no, this is not, like, there's nothing going on here. There's nothing going. Everything's very literal, like you said. Mm. Like, just because it's weird. There's a shootout scene at the end, right? That is so pathetic. Like, in, I'm not just saying execution, but the idea of it. And then she's walking in between them, covering the girl's, covering her ears with the girl. And do you remember what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
yeah, no, it's, yeah.
That's some dumb shit, dude.
I was even trying to, like, okay, what's going on again? Like, I had to, like, feel like I had to pause it in my head.
I was not a fan. I'm glad I waited to watch that one.
Okay.
I'm gonna, that's one where Matt and I are completely, like, lined up. I think I preferred Lose.
Really?
His first movie.
I did like Lose personally, but yeah.
And that's it.
I think we kind of felt the same way. More. Yeah, I'm with you.
With Cuckoo?
Look, I think it was fine.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's fine.
He makes me mad. Mm. It made me mad. Like, I'm like, what are you fucking doing?
Fair.
Fair? Oh, I don't like that guy anymore either, man.
Dan Stevens.
What's he fucking doing, dude?
He's just having fun at this point. He's like, I'll do whatever. Little goofy roll, you know.
Fucking Godzilla and Abigail.
Yeah.
Globalists. Anyway. Jorge, how about you?
Let's see. What did we watch? The kids wanted to watch all of the Willy Wonka movies.
You mean like,
dang,
dude, you did the fucking Gene Wilder.
No,
Johnny Depp.
Hold on, this is the order we did.
Oh god, wait a minute, let me sit differently.
So we watched the Johnny Depp Wonka movie.
Okay,
which is fucking trash.
That's risky.
Like I'm watching it and the kids are enjoying it because they're idiots. Because
their brains aren't fully developed
yet. Yeah. But the whole time I'm like, man, this is fucked. Like, it's not... Yeah, that movie sucks. Then we watched...
That's Tim Burton, dude.
Then we watched Wonka, the Chalamet prequel. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good.
I thought a lot of the songs were pretty well done.
I think, like, it's the homie who directed Paddington, so...
And it's produced by the Harry Potter people, I think, right? Yeah. So it's got that production value.
Yeah, so I watching it, I had a pretty good time. The music is good. Chalamet Ding Dong does a great... He's great as a prequel Wonka.
Fuck, man, listen to this.
And then we watched Gene Wilder's Wonka. Which is a fucking masterpiece.
Oh god, I thought you were gonna say some fucking take bullshit.
Both of the kids were like, yeah, I think my favorite...
You lose!
I think my favorite is Wonka. And I'm good, like, alright, as long as they didn't say the Johnny Depp one, dude, yeah. I might have disowned them at that point.
Yeah?
Yeah, fuck them.
Well, you could feed them, like, poison slowly and soup and stuff for months and months. Like,
yeah,
you
eat up their insides.
Yeah.
Really bloodstone. Yeah, it'd be about right. For that, anywho, but yeah, it's Wonka.
It was fine,
harmless.
It was good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say.
No, it was, no, you said it was. You said he was great. The songs you like, the production values are good. That sounds good.
There are times where I'm like, ooh, that's a green screen and a half, motherfucker. But
so you like Wonka better than Romulus? Why is he quiet? You just pulled the rug out, huh?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Okay, sorry.
But yeah, we are continuing. Let's see, what have we watched? We have continued to watch Severance, which is good. We've watched a show called Doc, which is a house-adjacent show.
Mm. Oh!
Yeah, it's whatever.
That's just got an 8.7 on IMDb.
House?
People love some fucking house. Damn. Oh, they don't have the fucking Teardrop Massive Attack fucking intro anymore for some reason.
What do they got?
Some trash, like, wannabe version, because I guess the rights expired.
And they didn't want to pay Massive Attack?
Dude, like, I had to go on YouTube, like, before the episode to watch it.
Just to listen to it.
I'm like, this is not right, Sophia. Like, you need to watch this the right way. Because it's a total fucking different tone. My dad, I was watching that in Maryland with my dad.
My dad!
Before he died. And he's all, isn't that a great theme song? I'm like, yeah! It's fucking Massive Attack, idiot! Wow. Okay.
That's crazy. Yeah. But that's pretty much it. I've watched other trash as I'm, you know, going through my day-to-day stuff, but nothing worth mentioning.
Give me one piece. Give me one more thing!
I'm watching Weeds again.
Damn. See, that's what I'm looking for.
That's what you're looking
that's
for?
That's some trash.
That is trash.
Dude. You're watching Weeds?
Yeah, dude.
Damn.
It popped up on Plex, and I was like, what else do I got to do with my time?
I remember, like, first and second season were riveting at that time.
Yeah? Yeah.
I think Courtney will like that show. I'm surprised she hasn't watched it.
And then they get to, like... They move to like San Diego and it's like, oh, this is really bad.
That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not good. But yeah, that's it.
All right. Is it break time?
It's break time. We can talk about movie. Oh, just say please.
Yeah. Say please.
Say please. Say,
suck dick. Say please.
Oh, wait. Oh, there he is.
He's not soft like you guys. Yeah. He has a lollipop. It looks like me, dude.
All right, we'll be right back.
Tool in the sand.
Monkey in the sand.
I don't even like the idea.
I don't even really like Tool anymore.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
I don't have to say that. You need the app. Get the app, dude.
The Tool app? Fuck, dude. It's
have you looked at it?
No.
There's a Tool app? Get it. Yeah, they made an app. I joked about it.
Damn.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Why are you going to use a website, man? They're ahead. Right when apps are about to be outmoded, they get an app.
Yeah. Yeah. We can get all exclusive merch.
Did you hear they're trying to cut? That's the next kind of frontier, to like cut the apps out of the thing where you just go directly. You're interfacing directly with stuff instead of going to a middleman. They're trying to figure out.
You mean like a website?
No. Like, because the idea is to stop interacting with having to go to an address or having to go to an app. So if it's just voice command or it's just like, I'm serious. I heard on NPR. Soon apps will be looked at like
CD-ROM. You mean woke PR, dude?
Dude, it is woke PR.
That's interesting, though.
It is. I've
heard of that, yeah.
Well, kind of makes, it doesn't make sense yet, but I'm starting to understand how it will one day.
You know what does make sense?
We're back?
We're fucking back.
We're back. Can we That's do what? Like, we're back.
We're back.
We're tired, huh?
I'm a little tired.
We're back.
There you go. Now you're knocked out of the park. So the Who Goes There podcast watched a little movie. 2025's Zemonkey.
Look at him. He's so fine.
Directed by Osgood Perkins. Based on a short story from a anthology series. Anthology novel by Stephen King. Stephen King adaptations, so hot right now.
Forever, dude.
I think they've always been, right?
Yeah, but they're actually like better now.
They are, yeah. They had a 90s period of like TV movies.
They used to be pure trash. Now it's like, oh, it could be.
Like It Chapter 2, dude?
It could be. Night Flyer was like the standard, right?
Yeah, Night Flyer was like, that's as good as it gets, dude, for Stephen King. But no, man, like with Flanagan at the helm of a couple things, we've seen some good stuff.
Flanagan, we got The Dead Zone. You got The Shining.
We've been confirmed.
Which Stephen King hates.
We've been confirmed for Dark Tower.
What do you mean?
Flanagan doing Dark Tower with, is it Amazon? Amazon money?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Flanagan with fucking Bezos together.
The right way that it should have been handled from the get-go.
So PG-13.
Edgar Wright is in the middle of filming The Running Man adaptation.
Oh, you hate
with Glenn Edgar Powell. Wright.
God, you hate him.
I want it to be good. I want it to be.
No, you don't. You hate Edgar Wright.
I want
Wright.
It to be. We talked about it. I want it to be Smash TV with all of Edgar Wright's fucking skills.
Je ne sais quoi.
Glenn Powell's in it.
Yeah, he's supposed to be way more faithful to the source material. He says it's a road movie. That's all I know.
So, anywho, the monkey.
I don't want to see a
directed road movie. By Osgood Perkins. Who you may last remember from
Long Legs.
Long Leggies.
I've put on my long legs.
Gretel and Hansel.
Good flick.
What was the one he did before that?
Blackcoat's Daughter.
The Blackcoat's Daughter. Yeah.
Blackcoat's Daughter.
Jacob? What'd you think of The Monkey?
Oh, I saw this a few weeks ago. I saw an early screening, like a week and a half before it came out. And I think till now, I'm still trying to figure out if I liked it or not. It's a very different approach. I mean, I knew going into it, like months and months before it came out, that Oz Perkins wanted to make like an R-rated Goosebumps, and he wanted to make something that was like the inverse of like the tone of Longlegs, and that's really what it is, you know. I mean, and actually, I read the book, the short story, I mean, of The Monkey today, or an audio book with Matthew Broderick narrating.
Good.
Yeah.
Narration.
Yeah. And, you know, I like both, and they're very different. And I'm trying to battle in my head, like, do I like the direction that he took it? Because it's very much an Oz Perkins film, but it takes a very serious story that's pretty fucking bleak. And it makes this kind of very goofy, incredibly dark humored little story about death and the inevitability of death. And I really like some of the direction that Oz Perkins takes it. And for me, though, and this goes for any horror comedy, the thing about horror comedies is that, you know...
It's got to be funny.
Yeah, right? It kind of hurts. You know, the comedy is going to hurt the horror is going to hurt the comedy. And, you know, you don't get a strength. You know, it's hard to balance out the strengths of both those, you know, those genres. And for this film, I really wanted there to be more horror and tension. I feel like, you know, if I was a lot younger in high school and this movie came out, I'd feel like this is a great movie. I think it's great introductory horror stuff. But I do feel like in the end, Oz Perkins is really hitting a specific, you know, thing in horror that no one's really like, you know, nailing right now. And I do love his style. And but I'm still struggling, and maybe you guys can help me out.
Well, James Wan's a producer on it. He nailed it with fucking Malignant.
Mm-hmm.
That whole.
So
yeah.
So as a Stephen King adaptation, I think that this isn't it, right? Like, I wouldn't call this like a Stephen King adaptation. Really, this is an Osgood Perkins.
It is.
Thing.
It's pretty it's far
an adaptation. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, like, you're not watching it. You're like, oh, it's The Mist. Like, it's a different. It's
Thank
a,
God.
It has more Oz. It has more Oz Perkinisms than Stephen Kingisms.
And as I understand it. So Osgood Perkins, you guys know about this dude's history, like his parents? Yeah.
This movie makes sense with his past.
Yeah. So I think this is him dealing with that trauma of...
the inevitability of death and loss.
Yeah. And, you know, I think somebody on Reddit put it perfectly, like dancing in the face of death. That sort of deal. Like
dancing through life?
Yeah. Okay. So, with all that said, I think I enjoy it when it's being what it is trying to be, which is like a kind of funny sort of take on a Stephen King series. When it reaches into the John dies at the end kind of silliness, I'm not quite vibing with it. Have you seen John Dies at the End?
I like John Dies at the End.
I do too.
But I like it because, I mean, the director's vibe, he's better at that vibe, even with trashy special effects. It's the same guy who did Bubba Hotep.
Yeah, so I...
Oh, and Phantasm.
Yeah. I don't think this is Perkins' strong suit in terms of, like, direction of a movie.
I'm going to help you out when I get there.
You can help me out now.
No.
I don't know that the tone is particularly his strong suit. When it hits, it's hitting real nice. God damn it, do I wish that they had done a shitload more practical gore effects.
Jesus
because
Christ, thank you for mentioning that.
My Lord in heaven, when
your head gets chopped off.
When your head gets chopped off and it's like, you know, Nickelodeon fucking effects.
Exploding bodies.
And then the bee scene
Fuck.
was unbelievably bad. But like, I will say, the sleeping bag kill, like the aftermath of that, I thought was pretty well done.
Oh yeah.
So there's stuff in here that's like, okay, you fucking.
Yeah. So for me, it's a real fresh watch. Well, you saw it a couple days ago too, right?
Yeah.
This comes down for me to structure, because I haven't read the book or anything. I think the intro was extremely strong. Like with Adam Scott, I think the tone was nailed there. And I'm seeing, even though the tone is drastically different than Long Legs, like you said, even Long Legs had those moments of absurd dry humor. This one is a different tone, but the weirdness gets like dialed up a little bit. But it's the screenplay, it's constantly jokey.
Yeah.
And I think the first third of the film with the kids is much better than when it gets to him being an adult.
100% agree, yeah.
And I remember like feeling like, honestly, the first third of it, including his visual palette, like, because you've got all the, what are becoming his kind of like signature things with like patterns on the walls and like lighting and vibrant colors popping out here and there, and just these little playful things, and a lot of good stuff with like depth of field occasionally. There was a lot of good shots outside that were like, this didn't need to be this fucking pretty, but it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the kids did well. It's hard to fucking get like...
Kid.
Oh, yeah. The kid. Sorry. The Winklevi.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, stupid, right? But also, you nailed 1999 in subtle ways. Like, he had a JNCO shirt. The asshole one was the one with JNCO. Like,
yeah, of course.
Of course. And like long sleeves under a JNCO t-shirt and a fucking t-shirt with like fucking a jack-o'-lantern.
A bomb and
dice and some bullshit and a burger phone next to your bed. Like, I'm like, this is fucking great. Good little details.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was having fun there. But, and I was just like, I hope this keeps this up when it gets where I know it's going, because I've seen that it's going to show the adult version of them later.
Yeah.
There's a kill in particular, as far as the kills, it has this kind of like Final Destination type deal.
Yeah.
I'm a big fucking fan of Final Destination series. Mm-hmm. There's, I mean, and of course, not all of them are good, but I love like the whole fucking, the shtick of it. Like, I love that. And I liked how initially in the first third, those kills, the first few were more tactile. They were more practical, or they seemed more practical. They were more unique. They weren't as rushed. And there was one in particular where the fucking, the aunt, she falls through the stairs and she's got a bunch of fish hooks on her face. Then her head gets lit on fire. Then her leg, she steps in something out in the yard, which is like a fucking cartoon. And I love the slapstick part of it. And then it did like a Scorsese like break cut, like where it pauses on the image and her head is going into a fucking signpost thing. And I was like, that's fucking great. If you can like do more of this, because we've got 2/3 of the movie left. Like, where are you going from here?
Upset. Yeah.
And then it goes to this extremely fucking handsome guy working in a fucking store. And I immediately am like, this guy is fucking distracting. I don't buy it. Yeah. I think he does a good job.
You're like, they got him for the narration, you know, not the.
Well, and I think the movie. So two things happen when that happens to me. Like, the movie slows down. And I don't latch onto his... I'm not really buying him as this character for me. Like, I found it distracting, but I was like, whatever. Like, the interchanges he has with his boss, the black dude, that shit was funny to me. Like, those little moments are funny. Some of this stuff is corny. Like, even the scene with him dancing with their mom, like, I get it, but that shit was corny. But then again, stuff with your mom is corny, right? So I can let it go. But, dude, then when we bring in Bill, he has to be the other brother. This is where, to me, like... the movie really loses its fucking way.
Yeah.
And I don't think this guy... the guy needed... to me, I think the actor... what's his name? I'm sorry?
Theo James.
Theo James. Again, like, this guy is, like, fucking the more handsome version of James Franco, like, non-canceled, obviously. And it's, like, it's really distracting, and I don't think... I think you needed to overplay Bill more than he did to really fucking sell this. I think you needed to be more eccentric... and also the script and the structure lets it down. It starts, you get the kid, and they end up in motel rooms. And which is, I get that's where the story's going, but it becomes very like repetitive. And it's not really engaging with the son stuff. And it kind of spins its wheels until we get to the fucking, like, okay, now we got to do the climax with Bill.
And they have to throw in a random, you know, plot device with Ricky, the metalhead kid, played by your homeboy from Halloween Ends.
I'm glad you fucking brought that guy up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who that was. Yeah, like I thought he was funny.
He was, yeah.
He was funnier than Bill.
He's really just a vehicle to get you from point A to point B in the third act, but like it worked.
Well, his timing, yeah. Structurally, he's a total plot point or a plot device, like you said. You know, and then, you know, I told you to steal the monkey, not fall in love with it.
I'm with you. Like, deal with him more than you do with the son. Like, get rid of the son and just deal with that kid.
I just don't think those scenes with the son and Theo hit. It didn't start hitting until like the last one right before Bill, and it's too little too late.
Yeah. You got
30 minutes that went by.
I think the biggest issue with the son subplot, right, is that like for a story that deals with the loss of a mother, the loss of a loved one, with that you have such a deep attachment to. Like, obviously his reasoning for not being in contact with his son is because he doesn't want to like put him in danger.
That, right? I appreciated as far as the intergenerational. It's like, it's stuff my dad gave me and I don't want to give to you.
Yeah.
Like, I get that. I like the thematic thing. I don't think it was fleshed out well.
Yeah. I guess that's what I'm kind of getting at, is that I don't think that, like, as you're watching it, the stuff with his son never reaches that point where you feel like, because the earlier stuff with the mom, as kind of like corny and goofy as it is, it's
consistent.
It's consistent and it's strong.
Yeah.
The stuff with the son, I'm like, well, dude, you just made it seem like he hates his son, and there's no payoff for that until literally the very end. And it's like, oh, okay, he loved him all along.
Motivations for him aren't clear. The motivations for the son aren't clear. Even if just because you say it doesn't mean it's clear, like in the behaviors.
Yeah.
And Bill's motivation for what he was doing was, I was not fucking understanding. Oh, because you killed my mom. It's like,
yeah,
that what have you been waiting for? Like obviously for the monkey to come back or something. I just was not buying the I was not understanding or feeling the motivation, you know? And even then, like, it's almost like the movie's aware of it, because he's like, well, he was my mom too. And it's almost like they make a joke of it. He's like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
And then it's over. And then like they make up and that's it.
Yeah.
It gets a little goofy, man. I really didn't like this shit with the twin brother. And, you know, all of that is not in the book at all. Like, he has a brother, but he's living a normal life. He's not part of the plot in like at all.
Oh no!
Yeah, and the father has two sons, and you know, and one of them he doesn't have the best relationship with, and yeah, it's the structure of it is very different. Yeah,
that's interesting. Those changes that were made. Is Osgood Perkins not the fucking uncle?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. With the fucking sideburns.
Yeah,
like that shit. I'm a sucker for little things. So I like his humor, and there was parts that the theater was. There was guys laughing at fucking the dumb, obvious jokes, but they weren't laughing at, like, Osgood Perkins sitting next to him, like, pursing his lips, like, which is, like, fucking funny.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's retarded.
Well, you know, the comedy that's sort of supposed to be a little bit more outlandish is you've got this priest who's clearly not a priest, right?
Yeah.
And I look at that stuff and I go, who is this for? Like, this scene, because they've got a couple scenes where you've got really young actors playing what would be traditionally like old roles, right? Like a priest. And what's Perkins saying with this young priest who kind of like cusses under his breath? Like, is it like one of those things?
Oh yeah, yeah. At the funeral.
At the funeral.
Yeah.
Both times, in fact.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's trying to.
I think he was saying, because the priest was given a bunch of platitudes, but it, like, I agree. It's just kind of a, it's like, yeah, we get it. People say platitudes a lot, and that's considered profound. Right. And so I think it was just like, lean into this young priest who doesn't fucking have a clue what to say. And he's just going to say like a bunch of cliches. Because aren't they all cliches?
Yeah.
Which kind of like that, that I kind of, it's not just the sayings are cliches. The situations are cliches. People dying is cliche. Grieving is cliche. Like, it does happen over and over again. It's a recurring thing. It's and nothing
I,
new.
And I think that's what they're trying. I think that's what
yeah.
Perkins is trying to get at, right? Like, it all, it's all so droll, and it's all, you know, it's all part of the process of growing. And
it's,
and,
it's like, and clinical depression, and he's finding the fun in it, you know?
Yeah, but you know, unfortunately, it doesn't hit right. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You see what they're doing, and you're like, oh, okay. Well, but like, what's the juice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and the fucking juice stops flowing for me after the first third. Honestly, yeah. It really does. And then, the kills get less inventive. Like, there's the real estate lady. She opens a
shotgun. Yeah.
She opened one. Well, the shotgun. I mean, it's like, I'm like, what happened? Like what? I
can't. You don't even really see the shotgun.
I barely fucking. Yeah. I mean, I knew from inference it's a shotgun.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
The yeah. pool kill.
Just exploding body, and then you got the cheerleader bus. Everyone gets decapitated, which is cool, but
like, it was all low energy though too. Yeah. It was like, okay, I got it. You choreographed them to put their heads down.
Yeah. Like in the novel, like it's just darker all around. There's like obviously like not. Like any humor at all, and but you know you got like a lot of like child deaths and stuff like that. It's a lot more grimmer, and yeah,
well, we know we want more of that.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Always Oz Perkins kind of take it in the direction that he did, and yeah, I'm still trying to figure out if I think that was the right choice, but
yeah, I guess it's one of those things. Like I don't want to say that I didn't enjoy watching it because I think I genuinely had fun.
With quite a bit of it.
Most of the way, right? Yeah. I just, there are things that happen where it's like, well, you know, he's going to show us a bowling ball and then remember that bowling ball? Yeah. It's like, okay, I get what you're doing, but like, why? Why are you doing this in such a droll manner?
Well, because... I read this article.
Oh, no.
No, it talked about media literacy and how it's at an all-time low and that things are really on the nose a lot. And I don't think that's always a bad thing, but that's what you're talking about right there. It's like, remember the bowling ball?
It's like a Chekhov's bowling ball.
Well, and it's like, because it's symmetry. It's like, oh, it was at the beginning. Now it's at the end. Therefore, structurally good. Like, it's like, okay, but it's like on the nose. Like, it's not really... The stuff in between the connective tissue was not engaging. Like, the meat wasn't there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you had, like, there'd be no problem with that if the rest of it hit, but it wasn't hitting, and then it just did some on-the-nose thing. And then the name on the bowling ball is Lois, the mom's name. And it's just like, okay, dude, you're hitting me over the head with the thematic stuff at this point. Mm-hmm. And then it hits you over the head again, man. Like, he's in the car with them, and he's like, you know what? Let's go dancing. And it's like, Jesus
Christ. Or even 30 seconds before that, you got to throw in spoiler territory, but like a pale horse rider.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Death, dude.
Yeah.
Death, dude. Yeah. He said it earlier in the thing, so now it's showing it.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of, it didn't hit, right?
No. No. I think Oz Perkins is the perfect director for this story, but it wasn't at all the movie I was expecting.
Yeah. Oh, there's another thing too. Like, regardless if I didn't know, you know, like I haven't read the short story or listened to it or anything, so I didn't know that it deviated so wildly from it. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about the town though at the end, Bill's been like fucking setting up the town and everyone's fucking dying in the town. Missed opportunity. Like, dude, like, you set me up for, like, because honestly, the first third again was doing Final Destination in a classier, funnier, and better executed, more artistic way. It was like the goofy neon version of fucking Final Destination.
Yeah.
And if you could, like, escalate that, it stopped that. And then the town is going fucking nuts, and you just show me like little brief like CGI plane crashing, crash,
yeah.
Guy with a surfboard. It's like, dude, like, give me 15 minutes of fucking mayhem,
yeah.
Like in this little town. Show this the town ripping itself to shreds. Like, I haven't really seen that. We've seen zombies. We've seen like the end of Cabin in the Woods, where that whole fucking like that whole floor of monsters is just fucking ripping everything to shreds. Like, have these people just going fucking bonkers, dying in all sorts of intricate, really fucking practical ways.
Yeah, just have them escaping through the town as it falls apart around them.
That's your opportunity with that. But it fucking spent all its time in this real dingy interior.
Yeah.
With Bill's bad mullet.
Yeah, and it was, that's why it was like, man, the movie started off really strong. I love the hook with Adam Scott as the father, and he's like this pilot, and he just, I love that whole scene, and you don't know where things are going to go. It feels very Final Destination. You don't know how things are going to unfold. You just know, based off the trailers, this monkey's going to cause some trouble.
Yeah.
And there's even tension in a lot of those flashbacks. I actually was kind of like unsettled by, you know, the flashbacks of the monkey in their room and stuff, and like the eyes and the darkness. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, we're gonna get some horror. We're gonna actually get suspense out of this monkey.
Yeah.
But that was it. And the rest of it is just, you know, here's some goofy deaths.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. The monkey, I was about to say, was well designed.
Yeah.
Like, it did look, it was shot from below, like you said, the eyes in the dark. Yeah. The when it, not grimaces, but when it opens its mouth and shows its gums.
Yeah.
All those little details were there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of waste it.
Yeah.
So the monkey sucks.
Annabelle 2 is a better movie.
Oh, wow. You're right. That's the one that fucking...
That was actually kind of a solid, decent... Yeah. Some good scares, yeah. Annabelle, I'm not going to lie. I'm like half joking, but I'm like...
Is that the one with the well and shit like that? Yeah, yeah.
You're right. Yeah, I also... Like, some of the stuff between the two brothers when they were kids also doesn't hit very... very well for me, because I don't know, dude, like, I just kind of, the idea that these two twin brothers would be so one of them would be so antagonistic to
the other. It was very fucking exaggerated. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And then also like this like Mean Girls club thing, and it's like, I don't,
in the bathroom,
yeah, I'm not super vibing with this, and I don't know if like the intention is to like really really victimize the younger twin, as it were,
who grows up to be a fucking model with a big ass Adam's apple,
just working in a grocery store,
big lips,
yeah,
fucking beautiful man.
He is a beautiful man. Have you guys watched the show The Gentleman?
No.
Have you seen the movie?
Movie The Gentleman.
Movies. I've watched it a couple few times. Mm-hmm. That's a good play. Yeah.
That's who's the homie? Madonna's ex fucking guy.
Guy Ritchie. Yeah.
Guy Ritchie got another film coming out with Tom Hardy. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm in.
You know what? I forgot one that I watched with Tom Hardy, but we could talk about it next time. And it's called Venom.
Last Dance. Man, my dad was watching Last Dance right when I was leaving.
Of course he did.
Dude, is it not? How far into it did you get?
I didn't watch it with him. I was just out the door and he was like 10 minutes in.
Dude, it's fucking way worse than I would have ever imagined.
Yeah.
He dances to ABBA.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Keep vamping.
Yes. I also forgot another movie, but I'll have to talk about it next time.
Yeah.
I don't know why the fuck I forgot that one. That was like the centerpiece. The Postman.
Oh, shit.
Have you ever seen that?
Oh, long time ago. I don't remember much of it.
That is fucking awful. It always has been. And damn, it is good shit.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a bad epic.
Damn.
You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fucking dope, dude. Like, Alexander and the Postman, it's like when that hubris fucking gets going and you got a big budget and it sucks ass. And it's like 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It's fucking nearly 3 hours, dude.
Yeah.
I want Kevin Costner up his own ass. Fuck, I love what the
budget was on that shit.
$80 million.
Oh, yeah?
And that was 95, which isn't like the biggest ever, but it was after Waterworld.
Yeah. You like Waterworld?
Well, not particularly, but it's fucking a masterpiece compared to The Postman. Anyway, fuck, where are you? Yeah, yeah. The Postman, man. I gotta check with you about that. That's next a good time.
Flick, dude.
It's fucking can't fuck crazy with that, man. Bad, dude. We're gonna decide what we're gonna do for the next little slate of episodes.
We're doing another Stephen King adaptation.
Do we want to? Do we want to do that?
I'm down for anything. Yeah.
Or do we want to finally do our all these good movies that we haven't done on the show? You know?
Yeah. Let's do a drama.
Let's do a drama? No. Let's do The Brutalist, dude.
Fuck.
Brutalist podcast.
Take you like 3 weeks to watch the Brutalist.
Dude, it would take me so long.
Yeah. Fuck.
But so final thoughts. Yeah, I like the first third and
yeah.
And
even some moments in the last like
yeah.
two thirds of it.
Yeah.
Not nearly as fun as I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah. Oh, and the whole come on, baby, that's a good time, bro. It's like that dude, take that shit out. Don't do that. Like we don't need that. It's already silly. Like, yeah. You know, like you put it at the beginning, you put it in the trailer, you yeah. put it in the fucking credits. Like,
yeah. And this is a movie just like Nosferatu. Like, it's all about the promotion and the whole just the fucking, oh, man, the way
the viral marketing,
yeah. and the pop-ups. And it's just like, let's make this like,
you
the
know, popcorn like, buckets,
the whole thing. Yeah. Like this movie, like you go on TikTok and it's just like all these kids, you know, like this is the best fucking movie ever, you know.
They've never seen people die in a movie before.
Yeah. I was like, dude, I mean, if I was like 14 and it's like 2004, I'd probably think this is a pretty fucking sweet movie, but it's not. Yeah. So, you know, I would consider this introductory horror, and I think that's safe, you know. It's super gory, but it's got some silly shit in it. It's not too terrifying, you know, but it's just I don't think I'm the target audience for it.
Yep.
Well, I, fucking even if I was, it's poorly structured the last two thirds.
Yeah,
I mean, Jesus,
like
Beetlejuice is introductory horror and it's fucking not as gory as this, and it's fucking fantastic.
True.
But not Beetlejuice. That shit sucks ass.
Did you actually watch it?
Yeah, I fucking talked about it a few. Dude,
oh, that's
that
right.
Shit is fucking. I am shocked anyone, even that, like, oh, it was just okay. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, Tim Burton got criticized for not having any black people in any of his movies, so he had to go out of his way to have a Soul Train scene in Beetlejuice 2. Yeah.
I didn't even fucking.
He pretty much did that as
that's
like.
That's why, huh? That's DEI right there.
That's DEI, man.
This has been the DEI podcast. This is Reed.
This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
Bye, Sophia.
See you.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.